from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App. You are still listening?
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Games Day strengthens national game industry. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi affirms ASEAN remains stable amid global uncertainty. Now the news in detail. Indonesia ranks 16th in the world game market with a projected revenue of $500 million by 2024. Deputy for Digital Economy and Creative Products of the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Muhammad Nail Al-Himam, revealed it at the commemoration of Indonesian Games Day or Appreciate 8.8 in Jakarta Thursday. Behind this great potential, according to him, the Indonesian game industry has great challenges because the ideal ecosystem to support the development of the national game industry has not yet been formed.
Hari ini merupakan salah satu milestone dari Perpres 19/2024 tentang percepatan industri game nasional. Dan ini salah satu milestone-nya di mana hari ini dirayakan sebagai Hari Game Indonesia yang oleh teman-teman Asosiasi Game waktu itu yang diusulkan. Dan ini merupakan salah satu milestone atau puncak kecil di perjalanan nanti Perpres tadi yang di mana kita diminta untuk mengembangkan, memperkuat ekosistem industri game nasional.
Today is one of the milestones of the President Regulation Number 19/2024 concerning the acceleration of the national game industry, and this is one of the milestones. So today is celebrated as Indonesian Game Day, which was proposed by Friends of the Game Association at that time. And this is one of the milestones or a small peak in the journey later of the presidential regulation, where we are asked to develop and strengthen the national game industry ecosystem. Al-Himam further disclosed that the commemoration of the Indonesian Game Day is also accompanied by the government's initiation to launch the Ayo Hargai or Let's Appreciate or Indonesian Game Day 2024. According to him, through this campaign, 8 national games have been selected, which are assisted in promotion on several online and offline channels. Many Indonesian games are successful in the international market, such as the game Coral Island from Bali, which recorded $20 million only on Steam, not including on PlayStation and Nintendo Switch. This was revealed by Chairman of the Indonesian Game Association, Cipto Adiguno, at the commemoration of Indonesian Game Day or Appreciate 8.8 event in Jakarta Thursday. Cipto Adiguno also explained that many of these successful games also raised Indonesian culture. According to him, this shows that Indonesian games have uniqueness from themes and stories so that they have positive competitiveness.
banyak game buatan Indonesia yang sukses ini sebetulnya membawa sedikit banyak budaya Indonesia. Jadi misalnya game saya tadi, game Coral Island, mereka membawa setting atau tema di pantai yang sebenarnya menggunakan banyak dari Bali gitu misalnya. Atau game lain seperti Coffee Talk yang juga dapat banyak penghargaan, itu membawa perasaan seperti ada di kafe seperti di Indonesia gitu. Kalau di luar negeri kan mungkin ke bar ya. Nah, itu menunjukkan bahwa kita punya keunikan dari tema dan cerita yang disukai bukan hanya ke beberapa negara di sekitar kita, tapi juga internasional. Jadi secara daya saing kita lihat itu sangat positif dan sebaiknya didukung lebih lanjut lagi.
Many successful Indonesian made games actually bring Indonesian culture. For example, the Coral Island game, which brings a setting or theme on the beach, which actually mostly from Bali. Or other games like Coffee Talk, which also got a lot of awards. It brings a feeling like being in a cafe in Indonesia. If in other countries, maybe to a bar. It shows that we have unique themes and stories that are liked not only by some countries near us, but also international level. So in terms of competitiveness, we see it is very positive and should support it further. Cipto Adiguna further explained that many Indonesian games are successful in the international market, such as in America, Europe, and China. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi delivered her remarks at the 57th anniversary of ASEAN, or the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, at the ASEAN Secretariat Building in Jakarta on Thursday. Quoted by RRI.co.id, she said that ASEAN remains stable amid global uncertainty. She perceived the Southeast Asian region managed to maintain a stable economic growth of 4.5%, which is higher than the global average. This is in line with the region's growth as a center of innovation, technology, and trade. However, Minister Retno Marsudi reminded ASEAN countries not to be complacent. Moreover, wars and conflicts still coloring the current geopolitical landscape. Therefore, she mentioned three goals that ASEAN must achieve to survive amid global uncertainty, namely, committed to promoting and protecting human rights, ready to face challenges with action-oriented strategic plans, and maintaining regional peace and stability with inclusiveness and cultural collaboration. The International Social Security Association, ISSA, appreciated the Indonesian government-managed health insurance of the Social Security Administration, or BPJS, for the achievement of the universal health insurance in Indonesia, which is more than 98%. The appreciation was marked by the presentation of an award from the International Social Security Association President Muhammad Azman to Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin in Jakarta on Thursday. According to Azman, as reported by Antara, this achievement is important to ensure that every individual in the country has access to proper health services. Universal health coverage is global health development concept that ensures every individual has access to fair, comprehensive, and quality health services without financial barriers. In Indonesia, the system is realized through the National Health Insurance called Kartu Indonesia Sehat, or JKN KIS. Anti-racism protesters took the streets of several British cities, including London, Birmingham, and Liverpool on Thursday. Anadolu reported, as quoted by Antara, that the rallies took place in response to an increase in racially motivated attacks and intimidation in the past week. Tensions between police and protesters escalated. Demonstrators demanded the dismissal of far-right protesters for inciting riots. Meanwhile, British police said that they had been deployed to northern England, as well as more than 1,300 police personnel were on guard in London. Britain has been rocked by days of chaos as far-right rioters have resorted to violence, hurling racist and Islamophobic slurs targeting Muslims, minority groups, and immigrants. A 7.1 magnitude earthquake shook southern Japan on Thursday, but no major damage was reported and only relatively small tsunami waves hit the coast. Reported by AFP, the United States Geological Survey said the earthquake occurred at 4:42 local time off the southern coast of Kyushu Island at a depth of 25 kilometers. Japanese government spokesman Yoshimasa Hayashi said there were a total of 3 people injured, but no disruptions to infrastructure, including electricity, water, and telecommunication, were reported. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's commentary is on Muhammad Yunus becomes Bangladesh interim prime minister. Bangladeshi Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina was forced to resign and flee the country on Monday, August the 5th, following massive protests by students in recent weeks. Right after Hasina's resignation, President Muhammad Shahabuddin decided to form a caretaker government until elections are held. Muhammad Shahabuddin dissolved parliament on Tuesday, paving the way for a caretaker government and new elections. After talks with representatives of the military, opposition parties, and students, President Muhammad Shahabuddin's press secretary, Joinal Abidin, announced Wednesday morning that Bangladeshi Nobel Prize laureate Muhammad Yunus would lead Bangladesh interim government after being sworn in on Thursday. Yunus' interim government needs stability, especially in terms of security, in preparing a roadmap towards new elections to determine the next leadership. On the one hand, many believe that Yunus' interim government will be stable, considering that the Nobel laureate has popularity, wide acceptance, and international recognition. On the other hand, there are doubts that arise because stability is very much determined by the support of all components. One of the key elements that determines security stability after the riots is the military. Realizing this, during an interview with CNN, the founder of Grameen Bank said that he wanted to see the military relinquish power and hand it over to civilians. Yunus' desire for the military not to be involved in political power affairs is very important. Because if the Bangladeshi military is involved in political power affairs after the riots, it will make it difficult for Yunus' interim government. Especially in preparing a roadmap towards a new general election to determine a new leadership. Yunus' wishes seem to have been responded to positively by the military. The commander of the Bangladesh Army, General Wikar Uszaban, has expressed the military's full support for Muhammad Yunus. Wikar Uszaban said in a press conference on Wednesday night that the Bangladesh Army, together with the Navy and Air Force, will work together to support Yunus. The statement of support from the military commander for Yunus has removed the doubts and suspicions of many parties. Previously, General Wikar Uszaban was known as a close ally of the ousted Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina and is also a distant relative of hers. Hopefully, the institution led by General Wikar Uszaban will continue to support the interim government and will not be tempted to get involved in power politics. That was today's commentary.
start today in history with August 9th, 1945, the second atomic bomb dropped by the United States on Nagasaki, Japan. 3 days after dropping the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, American forces dropped another atomic bomb on Nagasaki on August 9th, 1945. In an instant, the port city was destroyed and 80,000 people died. The impact of the bomb's radioactive material also increased the number of victims. America's goal in this bomb attack was to defeat Japan completely and show America's power in the world. 6 days after the atomic bomb was dropped on Nagasaki on August 15th, Japan surrendered unconditionally to the Allies and signed the Instrument of Surrender on September 2nd, which officially ended the Pacific War and World War II. Moving on to August 9, 1965, the country of Singapore founded. In 1963, the Federation of Malaysia was formed with Singapore being made part of the Federation. However, the Singapore state government and the Malaysian central government had always disagreed on many political and economic issues. Therefore, on August 7, 1965, the then Prime Minister of Malaysia, Tunku Abdul Rahman, asked the Malaysian Parliament to expel Singapore from the Federation of Malaysia. On August 9, 1965, the Malaysian Parliament agreed to amend the Constitution to separate Singapore from the Federation of Malaysia. So, on August 9, 1965, Singapore officially became a sovereign country. I'll end today in history with August 9, 1974. The President of the United States, Richard Nixon, resigns. Nixon resigned as President of the United States after he was proven to be involved in a political scandal, namely the attempted wiretapping of his political opponents known as the Watergate scandal. Nixon declared his resignation on August 9, 1974, and was replaced by his Vice President Gerald Ford. Richard Nixon became the only President of the United States thus far who resigned. That's today in history.
We'll be right back.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, welcome to My Indonesia. Today we're focusing on a groundbreaking development that is capturing global attentions in Nusantara capital city as the world's largest project. President Joko Widodo or Jokowi has declared that the development of the new capital city IKN Nusantara in East Kalimantan is currently the largest project in the world. He made this statement during the 17th National Congress of the Indonesian Real Estate Associations 2023 in Jakarta on August 9th, as reported by Antara News Agency. President Jokowi highlighted that the Indonesian government is boldly initiating new economic hubs by constructing IKN on the island of Kalimantan. Presently, there are 34,000 hectares of land available for purchase in IKN. According to the president, this vast land can be acquired through purchase, not as a free grant. Additionally, he shared that Indonesia's economic growth reached 5.17% year-on-year in the second quarter of 2023, maintaining a growth rate above 5% for 7 consecutive quarters. Among the G20 nations, only Indonesia, India, and China have achieved such higher growth rate. Further, Jokowi urged the Indonesian Real Estate Associations to enhance collaboration with the government. He emphasized the need to assist ordinary citizens in securing healthy and adequate housing. The president also reminded that housing or other property developments should consider social and environmental impact to prevent creating problems for surrounding areas. In closing, President Jokowi expressed hope that 17th RAI Congress will formulate strategic measures to address the opportunities and challenges faced by Indonesia's property industry. He envisions a country with diverse and thematically distinct cities. Dear listeners, that concludes today's edition of My Indonesia.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy, but every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals.
Royals.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. Friends in the eye, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money, but every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. Driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals.
Royals.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck's just ain't for us.
We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee. And baby, I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy. We're bigger than we ever dreamed. And I'm in love with being queen.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Dear listeners, welcome to another edition of Indonesian Wonder, where we explore the hidden gems and breathtaking destinations of our beautiful archipelago. Today, we are taking you to a picturesque beach that promises a memorable experience. Slili Beach in Yogyakarta. For all of you beach enthusiasts out there, make sure to plan a visit to Gunung Kidul in Yogyakarta. Why you ask? Because Gunung Kidul is home to a stunning array of beaches, and one standout is Slili Beach. This captivating destination attracts numerous visitors due to its pristine beauty and powdery white sand. Slili Beach serves as a natural divider between Krakal Beach and Sadranan Beach, and is situated in Sidoharjo Village, Tepus District, Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta. It's about 70 kilometers or approximately 1.5. It's about 70 kilometers or approximately 1.5 hours from the heart of Yogyakarta. To access Slili Beach, a modest entrance fee of 15,000 rupees per person is required. Parking fees are around 15,000 to 30,000 rupiah for cars and 5,000 rupiah for motorcycles. Upon arrival, you'll be greeted by the sight of gleaming white sand and crystal clear blue waters. Nestled between two hills, the beach enjoys relatively calm waves, making it ideal for shoreline play or for a refreshing swim. For those interested in marine life, snorkeling opportunities abound, allowing you to explore the vibrant underwater world around Slili Beach. with its elevated surroundings, Slilly Beach offers spectacular vistas. You can hike up Cobbington Hills, which is conveniently close to the beach, for a panoramic view of the ocean. After your adventures, unwind and savor delectable seafood at local food stalls or simply relax while watching the sunrise or sunset. The beach is well equipped with amenities, including a parking area, a prayer room, gazebos, restrooms, food and beverage stalls, cafes, accommodations and snorkeling gear rental. Listeners, that concludes today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. Join us tomorrow for another captivating destination. Until then, take care and goodbye.
Still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program we present to you, Miscellany. Listener, today's Miscellany informs you about Indonesian films that are increasingly popular in various prestigious international festivals. The Shadow Strays, directed by Timo Cahyanto, will have its premiere show at the Toronto International Film Festival 2024 for the Midnight Madness Special Program. The film will be screened on September 13 to the 15. Midnight Madness is a Toronto International Film Festival program that specifically screens action, horror, and fantasy films at night. The Shadow Strays is one out of 10 films screened in the Midnight Madness Toronto International Film Festival. This program will be started by screening The Substance, a film directed by Corelli Farget. Several films are screened in the program, such as Dead Male, Dead Talent Society, Escape from the 21st Century, and The Gesui Dose. The Shadow Strays has also become one out of several Indonesian film projects released on the Netflix streaming service throughout 2024. Listener, The Shadow Strays is the latest work of Timo Cahyanto. He is known as the director of May the Devil Take You in 2018. The Night Comes for Us in 2018. May the Devil Take You 2 in 2020, and The Big Four in 2022. The Shadow Strays is about a 17-year-old assassin who's suspended by an organization she is under. However, one day, she witnesses a boy who lost his mother to a murder committed by a criminal syndicate. The young assassin sets out to challenge the organization to rescue him. However, her effort is difficult to carry out since she has to deal with many parties. That was Miss Leni from Voice of Indonesia.
Sadar ku temukan wanita rupawani yang sadarkan dia seorang tiada lain tiada bukan hanya dia. Dia buat ku nyaman dalam hangat pelukan, dia perasa yang mengerti yang ku rasa, hanya dia. Kan ku arungi tujuh laut samudra, kan ku daki pegunungan Himalaya. Kan ku lakukan untuk dirimu sayang, oh penjaga hati. Kau dan aku sempurna, semoga ada cara untuk terus bersama. Selalu ku tunggu, tak mau berlalu, kau dan aku. Kan ku warungi tujuh laut samudra, kan ku daki pegunungan Himalaya. Apapun kan ku lakukan untuk dirimu sayang, oh penjaga hatiku.
pegunungan Himalaya. Apapun kan ku lakukan untuk dirimu sayang, oh penjaga hatiku. Oh, karena bersamamu semua terasa indah. Bunga gulana hatiku telah hancur sirna. Janjiku takkan ku lepas, wahai kau bidadariku dari surga untuk selamanya.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, today's Music Corner is going to present a regional song from West Kalimantan entitled Pagu Banua Borneo. This song is part of the oral traditions of the Dayak people. Pagu Banua Borneo, which means the beautiful nature of Borneo, tells the story of the Dayak tribe's inner bond, love, and pride for their ancestral land, the island of Borneo. In addition, the lyrics also describe the Dayak tribe's appreciations for their rich culture and natural resources. The song Pagu Banua Borneo is often performed alongside typical Dayak cultural elements, such as traditional dances, traditional clothing, in important ceremonies that are still preserved today. Pagu Banua Borneo is not just a song. It is also a means to musically celebrate and disseminate traditions, values, and moral teachings. Here is the song Pagu Banua Borneo sung by Fausta. Enjoy listening to the song.
Oh, Pagu.
Of Indonesia.
Kita bukanlah buah yang terjatuh dekat pohonnya. Cita-cita adalah benih yang terbawa angin samudra. Realita membawamu jatuh ke bawah, tapi ingat-ingatlah bila mimpi tak sedalam dengan apa yang kau tuju, tak sesuai dengan apa yang kau mau. Lepaskanlah beban pikiranmu, gerakan hatimu. Dunia ini lebih luas dari ruang sekarang. Ingatlah mimpimu yang kau kejar dulu, jangan layu, jangan kau ragu-ragu sekarang. Ingatlah mimpimu yang kau kejar dulu, jangan layu, jangan kau ragu-ragu sekarang. Ingatlah mimpimu yang kau kejar dulu, jangan layu, jangan kau ragu-ragu. Bila mimpi tak sejalan dengan apa yang kau tuju, tak sesuai dengan apa yang kau mau, lepaskanlah beban pikiranmu, tenangkan hati. Bila mimpi sesuai dengan apa yang kau mau, lepaskanlah beban pikiranmu, dengarkan hatimu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma, signing out. Bye for now.